Okay, have any of you heard of the phrase shovivim?
Yeah.
Shovivim. The word actually originates from a pasuk in Navi. Shuvu banim shovivim. Similar to the well-known pasuk turned into a song with shevu banim. But the shuvu banim, it's a command. Return, O sons, O returnees. Shovivim. So there's something special that is starting this week in the Jewish calendar, something that is, I would say, relative to other holidays and special events of the year, a bit lesser known. It is definitely more emphasized in the Hasidic world or in the world of Kabbalah. Are you raising your hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say Parshat Shmot.
Parshat Shmot is, yes, the book of Shmot is the beginning, and it's very much connected to that. It's actually connected to the first six parshiot in Sefer Shmot. Now, if you take the first letter of each parsha, of the first six parshiot of Sefer Shmos, what are they? Shmos, Va'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, Shin, Vav, Bet, Yud Mem, Shovivim. Shovivim. Okay.
It's the only book I know.
Now, Hasidic rabbis discuss that it is not a coincidence that the first six parshios of this period of time of the Sefer Shmos spell out the word Shovivim. Talking about the idea of returning. Now, what's interesting is, when do we talk about returning? About Teshuvah? Usually 3 to 4 months ago in Elul and Tishrei. But what happens is 3 months go by and Tishrei is kind of a distant memory by now. So much has happened since then. The whole staying in shul for many hours at a time and the fasting and the weird schedules and all that. Maybe it's just me, but it doesn't resonate as much as it did then. A lot has transpired since then. And it could be that this is the exact time that is appropriate to remind ourselves, hey, remember a few months ago when we had all these big plans for this year, when we had all these big dreams and big thoughts about, hey, you know what, those few things that I'm not great at, I'm really gonna get good at those things this year. I'm really gonna stop in these three or four different areas this year. I'm really going to focus more this year. I know every year it doesn't go well, but this is going to be the year. And then it only takes a couple months. We're only a few months removed. And what? I don't even remember what I was davening about back then. I don't even know what happened back then. And Shovavim is that time where we say, here's a period of 6 weeks, a contained period of time, where we could refocus. You could, if there's a scene, where we refocus our efforts on the teshuva process, not at the expense of the other work that we were doing, but I would say in congruence with the other work that we've been doing. It's reminding ourselves that the work that we've been doing should be connected to the teshuva process that we started a few months ago, and here's a chance to remind ourselves about that process that we started. But it's not just that it happens to be that these parshios spell out that word. It's what's contained in these parshios. What happens is we go from a place, a family who moved down to Mitzrayim. At that point, things were good. The brother in the family was the king of the entire country and the known world. They were given all the material comforts that they could possibly want when they came down to Mitzrayim. And yet, in not a large amount of time, things got worse, and not just worse, they got as bad as it possibly can get. To have a country full of Egyptian slaves, of Jewish slaves, with conditions that are beyond description, with stories, and if you read the Midrashim, the level of inhumanity that was, you know, carried out against the Jews. It wasn't just that they were slaves, but that was just the beginning. It went so bad to the point where Jewish people didn't recognize who they were or why they were who they were. and what God was in their life, and if God existed in their life, to the point where, as we see even in this week's parsha, they couldn't even pray or daven. What they did was they screamed. They just yelled out. They didn't even have a way of expressing how to relate to God or even themselves. And yet, that's only the beginning / middle of the Shovavim process. Because already, Va'eira Bo, the tables turn completely and we move up to this, not just back to okay, but to a place where the Jewish people are the elite and the top of the top of humanity, and there is no one like them, and there will never be anyone like them, and that was all decided over the course of these weeks as we read these parshios. From going from slaves and complete destruction to the brink of being completely destroyed, to being the chosen people for all of eternity that basically carry the entire world and the entire destiny of the world on our shoulders. And we, as individuals, are meant to remind ourselves that this process can take place within each of us at any moment. Whenever we feel we're down and out, we also have the ability to do this major transformation. Now, it's not in our control, it's in God's control, the same way it was back then. But it means that there is never a moment where you could say, I'm almost done, so there's no hope. It's a famous idea mentioned in the writings of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Ein yeyush ba'olam klal. There is no giving hope in the world. And he specifically said, ein yeyush ba'olam klal, meaning to say, not just that you shouldn't give up hope, that's not what the words mean. It's that there is no such thing as giving up hope. Meaning it's not a part of our reality to be hopeless. Because, as we see, there is no moment in time where we can declare it is hopeless. That's not part of our vocabulary, part of our outlook on life. Every moment in time is a moment where things can be turned upside down and brought to not only back to normal, but to even a better state than it was before. And it's very fitting that the person who stars in these six parshios is Moshe Rabbeinu. If you think about Moshe Rabbeinu, we usually only think about him at the point where he's walking down with the tablets and he has the beard and the nice robe and stuff like that. But he had a very interesting and tumultuous upbringing. First of all, he almost died from the first moment he was born, right? He almost never was, because there were Egyptians looking to find him and to murder him. There was even already a prophecy that, and they knew that his family was a prominent family in the Jewish people, and they knew that it was bad news whoever was going to come out of that family. And miraculously, he was saved, and not only was he able to escape death, but he was saved by the daughter of Paro, and instead of growing up a Jew, he grew up not just an Egyptian, but the prince of Egypt. And as he grew up, I believe, and I'm going to talk about this at the end of Night Sitter a bit more in depth, it was very difficult for him to understand who he was and what his place was in life and what he was meant to do. And as we see, when God confronts him at the burning bush, at the sneh, God wants him to go save the people, and what is his response?
Why me?
Why me? No. He first says, no, it's not, you got the wrong guy. Then he says, but they're not going to believe me, even if I have the ability to do it, the people aren't going to believe me. Then he's given signs, and then he says the words, lo ish devarim anochi. I'm not a man of words. I'm not a good public speaker. And as you may have heard, the famous Medrash that he actually had a lisp, a speech impediment, whether that's actually a literal thing that he had or not, he didn't believe that he had what it took to express properly what needed to be expressed in his role as a Jewish leader. And yet, not only did he take on that role, but what is the last sefer of the five books of the Torah called?
Bye.
Come on, Jamie. What is the last of the five books of the Torah? Bereshit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar?
Devarim.
What is that word based on? The first pasuk in that parsha of Devarim? Eile ha-Devarim asher diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke. As I mentioned to some of you on Sunday night, there is an entire sefer, the fifth book of the Chumash, is one long speech that Moshe Rabbeinu gave that lasted a month. Moshe went from someone who had a lisp, had a speech impediment, had absolutely no confidence in himself to even utter one word of God, to some 40 years later giving a 30-day long speech that got turned into an entire book of the Torah. And if you talk about someone who thought nothing of himself, and not only because he was an anav, but he actually didn't believe he could do it, going from that position to the greatest person of all time, definitely the greatest leader. So that should be a model, and during these weeks, where his growth is very apparent, a model for us to understand, hey, if there's anything we thought we couldn't do, let's look at Moshe, who thought he couldn't do anything that he did, and we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. So hopefully we'll take this model in mind. We're at the Shin, the very first week of the Shovavim. I would suggest, practically speaking, maybe let's think of small things that we could take, that we could work on for 2 weeks at a time, for 4 weeks at a time. Check in one week at a time. Maybe you could split it into 6 weeks and say, this first week I'm going to work on Lashon Hara. Second week I'm going to work on benching. Third week, very good. So now we have 6 weeks. It's very good to have a contained amount of time. Sometimes working on something without knowing when to check up on it or when to stop and look back is difficult. So Shovavim presents all of you in your own unique way with an opportunity to say, what can I go back to and rejuvenate my tshuva process in some specific areas, and look back after 6 weeks and say, wow, I really made some serious progress in areas that I thought 6 weeks ago that wasn't even in my mind, or I wasn't even sure if I could take that on. So hopefully we'll be successful in those endeavors, in those efforts that we put in these 6 weeks in Shovavim.